Blog Talk Radio.
Today's a new day.
people.
That's why we do a consensus
you know, and you must fill out documents. Some people try to bypass the consensus that the United States tries to poll. Really, that's to kind of help us out community-wise. But many of us don't even follow through. We don't know the purpose. We're going to talk about that more. Empowerment Sunday, all the way live from Charlotte. North Carolina, give it up. For CeeLo.
CMI Radio Live, CeeLo. Good afternoon.
Dexter is back on. You got Mos Def and Tom Hanks. And Colin Hanks on this season. Yo, it's about to be off the chain with Dexter. All the way live from Chesapeake, Virginia. Give it up for Donaire. Welcome to the show.
All right. Bony Nachos World, how's everyone doing?
What up?
Hey,
my scary, crazy, deranged friend, all the way live from Delaware, bugging out with Dexter. Yo, we just like the murderer. It's something about blood and gore and murder that keeps you
on
the edge.
Yes, I love him. Yes, I love Dexter. Yes. Oh, this killing self. Oh,
hey.
I so wish he was real.
Hey, I'm not going to go that far. No, I want Dexter to stay in TV land. I want him to stay right here in TV land. What up, everybody? Welcome.
Yeah, he's just too cool. I'm loving him.
Yeah, he's. I'm surprised he's been able to survive.
Don't make
this
man. People call Dexter.
Hey, Empowerment Sunday, everybody. Recession. Are we in a recession? Or is it specific to communities? Is it specific to areas where my belief is industry. When it comes to industry, those areas that are old manufacturing areas where, you know, like Detroit, where it used to be big on cars, but then they stopped producing cars, people stopped buying cars, and then the city, you know, runs into a muck. Where they maybe have refineries, where there are plants, places like Kansas City, where there are big refineries, but the refineries now are so old, they've been shut down and replaced by technology. You know, those jobs are now wiped away. And if you don't have the proficiency or the skills, you're no longer competitive in the market. You go to places like New York, where, you know, the economy is thriving. The economy is thriving for a lot of different reasons, but specifically from tourism, 9/11. You know, the city makes millions and millions of new tax dollars in revenue, you know, just off of the whole 9/11 catastrophe alone. Is the recession specific to households and communities and areas? What do you think? Hit us up, 917-889-3926. Toya, do you feel the pinch of the recession? Is it specific to areas?
I'm starting to think it is specific to areas. I'm not really feeling the pinch. I'm still broke as I was broke before, so it's not getting any worse. I know that work it's not getting any worse. I know work has slowed down. I can't get as many hours if I wanted to work overtime before I could. But, I mean, it's not really hitting my family hard, so I can't say that we're in a recession. So I think it is based on different areas or different industries, depending on what it is that you do for a living.
Right. 6 degrees of separation. Do you know anyone who's been unemployed for more than 6 months?
Yes. I know more than 4 people that have been unemployed for 2 years.
Okay, you'll get your turn. How about you, Toya?
No, the people that are unemployed were unemployed prior to the recession, and I don't think they have any desire to gain employment. So, no, I don't.
Well, like a friend of mine, she used to be a project manager for a Citibank, and they did away with her position. Now, at that position, she made $70-plus thousand dollars a year. she couldn't find a job that paid anything close to that, that were, you know, or I guess a deal that sweet where she was making $70,000 a year for being a project manager. You know what I'm saying? So she ended up having to take a $30,000 a year job. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So hold on. Let me go back to Toya right quick, because I think, CeeLo, you make a great point, and I want to rope it in right quick. Toya said that she knows people who've been unemployed, but they don't have the desire to be employed. So my question to you, CeeLo, is it a case where because I don't make the same amount of money, I'm not going to work at all? I no longer have the desire to work if I can't make the salary I made previously?
No, I mean, because look at it like this. Who would go for a job that made less than what they were making? I mean, honestly, if you get fired
someone struggling in need of a job.
I know I would if it came down to the fact that I was going to lose I would definitely get a job that paid less than. Pride is not an issue for me. I will do what I need to do to take care of my family and my household.
And you're absolutely right. But that's my thing. It wasn't that she didn't want to work, but then also she came in contact with being overqualified.
Right. No. I don't want to, you know, get into the specifics of, you know, her situation, because it varies. I just asked just a question.
Hold on.
So I want to clarify the point. It was strictly a question of if she had a desire to work. You clarified that one. I think you said two things. You said no, but then you said who would work for anything less. So maybe it was yes, she didn't want to work because it was less than $70,000.
No, she did want to work because she has a child and she had just purchased a home. So yes, she did want to work. She had things to work for, but she was either overqualified or she didn't get a call back. And finally, she did get someone who was willing to allow her to apply for a position that made less than what she was making.
You sure this person ain't you? You got an attitude. You sure this one? You sure this ain't you? You sure this ain't you? And we'll be right back, everybody. You're probably side of power, brother. That's you, CeeLo. That's you. You talking about?
Need a dame as my pet, and she claimed my set to the death. and she rap like a congressman. Use her mouth when she take off the condom. Damn, now that's a
slime on the chick. Slow down, pull over to the side, write my phone number down, and just call me later. Call me later. Call me later. Call me later. Hey, what she doing, shorty? You need to slow down, pull over to the side, write my phone number down, and just call me later.
Make it quick.
Call me later.
Used to say practice makes perfect, but that was a lesson. Perfect practice makes perfect. I perfected perfection, but that's some other shit. Hit me up later on this number, bitch. I'm like, what the hell, like for a fair price? You get naked, yeah, right. Like I pay for pussy, the venues I've been done, did it. Take down these 10 digits, 50 second nigga, 1 minute. But I ain't got much rap, buck shaps to you, muskrat. Point blank, just to hush that. Fruity dinks, I will punch that. I'm hungry with my lunch shit.
What she doing, shorty? You need to slow down. Pull over to the side, write my phone number down, and just call me later. Call me later. Call me later. Call me later. Hey, what she doing, shorty? You need to slow down. Pull over to the side, write my phone number down, and just call me later. Call me later.
TM Hyman Radio Live, HAC. That was Jay God. We'll call me later. TM, one of TM's favorite songs. Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that joint, no doubt.
Yes. And I'm not the angry rapper.
Yo, CeeLo's the angry rapper. Yo, she's the angry rapper, everybody. I'm convinced she's the angry rapper.
I didn't get my check yet.
Hey, you're inside Empowerment Sunday. It's 9:23 on the East Coast, and we're trying to do what we do inside this hour. Understand, only 37 minutes left in the show. Thanks for rocking at the new time, 9 p.m. on Sundays, and we're only on for an hour. Hey, Dexter's back on the air. Check him out. We want to hear from you. We're talking about the recession and its impact. It seems, you know, even though we have a 20% unemployment rate nationally, it seems that, you know, there are pockets, you know, in our country that's being hit, you know, more than others. I know where I am in Florida. Florida has one of the highest unemployment rates in the country, and it also has one of the highest dropout rates in the country. So, you know, we're getting a double dose of stress right now on the educational front as well as the economical front. But I do believe that it is also, you know, specific to communities, specific to areas, you know, where, you know, workforce preparation may not be prevalent, you know, skill set may not be prevalent. But I also believe that there's a population of people who's just being, you know, covered by grace.
Well,
you know, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Go ahead.
Well, you know what, true, though, and you also have to keep in mind that the African-American unemployment rate is at 16%. So,
wow.
You know, looking if we look at the nation, yeah, it's kind of high. But with the African-American, you know, unemployment rate being at 16%, that's kind of screaming. You know what I'm saying? Because then that's like, okay, does it go back to the programs that were supposedly put in place but never implemented? You know what I'm saying? It's like
such as
besides the recession, that because I'm gonna tell you this, that there were a lot of people that were broke before the recession hit. There were a lot of people that didn't even know a recession hit because they were used to not having money. So it wasn't a to me, those are the ones that really it was like, okay, welcome to the club for them. You know what I'm saying? For them to the new people, welcome to the club, because we've been surviving without having, you know, a pocketbook
right.
to reach from.
Right.
You know,
no, you're
so
right.
It's bringing pretty much the rest of the world to where most of the world was. And that's
right.
what that
it,
is.
It,
that's the only reason they're freaking out is because rich people became poor. That's the only reason they started freaking out.
You know what I referenced it to? I referenced to the scripture of everything that's at the bottom is going to come to the top. Everything at the top is going to go to the bottom, which is really what the scripture references is. It's saying things are going to be balanced out. So things are going
right.
to be leveled out. Things are going to be even. That's all the scripture is saying. And I think that is where we are right now in times.
Right. Right. Well, the thing is, like I said, it didn't really become a big deal, though, until the rich people started becoming broke. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when rich people started killing themselves, that's when it became an issue. The suicide rates didn't increase. They've been the same. The increase has been on the media, the media coverage that they're getting. That's what increased. So they started caring.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where we are. Now, what do we do to maintain and then to get out of it? I don't know, because I know that if the government failed, I'd be assed out, because then I couldn't get my disability that I worked for.
And then somebody would be in trouble.
So,
No, it's true. If the government shut down, because we keep, it's like a seesaw. We're up today, we're down tomorrow, we're up today, we're down tomorrow. And, folks, we're talking about our, economy. How much control do we really have, even though we pour money into the economy every day? How much control do we have? How knowledgeable are you? That's the whole purpose of this dialogue, in dialogues of the past and in dialogues of the future. How knowledgeable are you? Excuse me?
I said, how much of that control are we actually using?
Right. But see, I don't even think people feel like they have control. I don't think people feel as if they have control. I don't think people really feel as if their vote counts. And we'll continue to talk about that. But again, folks, it starts with you putting your ear to the ground.
Right.
You got to want to know what's important. A lot of people really don't want to know what's important. They don't want to know.
Right. Like some people, to some people, ignorance is bliss, because the less that they know or the less that they try to understand, the happier they are in life. Some people don't think as far as we do. And, whether there is a solution. Some people say, okay, this is just what it is, and let's work around this. Not let's change it, but how do we adapt to this, instead of trying to create other ways to create other streams of income. That's where we're at right now, is having to create 2 and 3 streams of income just to stay afloat.
I am convinced that the only way to control your future, the only way to clearly control your dollars, is to rid yourself of and please don't understand, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here, but it's really the slave mentality. It's still slavery, my friends. We get paid wages for hours. It's a trade-off, and at the end of the day, it's slavery. So, the new age term for slavery really is employment, but we all need it. So outside of, employment, you have to become an entrepreneur, and you have to employ yourself. But in order to employ yourself, you have to understand economics and what's important. And I'm here to tell you that you can reach a level of empowerment that will help you to be all that you've been called to be. We have entrepreneurs on this platform tonight. And I know she doesn't mind speaking about working for yourself. It is 9:30. On the other side of this, hey, are you feeling a recession in your house? If so, we're going to talk about what you can do. We got business owners on this platform tonight. We want to help you. Breathe again. Jay Styles, TM Hana Radio Live, Empowerment Sunday.
Look, I know he had you thinking that you don't ever want to love again. You say, no, no, no. Let me show you things can be regretted. And then you get the chance to prove I'm really nothing like him. Oh, 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 oh. And I know he put some nice in you, baby.
TM Hyman Radio Live. Thanks for joining us this Empowerment Sunday. It's about 9:34 here on the East Coast, and we are discussing the recession. Is it your reality? Because it definitely isn't mine. I'm one of those people that hasn't really affected. However, so you know those people that it has. Parents, do you think that the recession has had an impact on your life in any way?
Not thus far. Not thus far, which is, I think, a blessing, you know. But I think at the same time, you know, you have to make some strategic moves. You know, you have to know, you know, what's coming in, what's going out. And you have to be smart about it at the end of the day. And I would like to just say that I just completed the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace course. So for me, it's been a work in progress. You know what I mean? You know, you all know I've been on that educational track in like a few different realms for the last year. You know, so I mean, I've had a lot of help trying to help me. I was a spender. So the thing about it was when I made some decisions and I shifted, you know, to really depending on me, like totally, it was okay because mentally I had changed some things and it caused my habits to change, you know, so I'm not that impulsive spender I used to be at a good time as well. So, you know, I think how you look at it makes a difference. But the
right.
recession overall, no, the recession has not really hit me in a way that I can say has been impactful. And again, what is this, like the fourth year?
Yeah. Well, third year, 2008.
Yeah, like the third year of the recession.
When the recession started. You know, I was buying a house at that time. So for me, it was like, yeah, I felt it, but not really. Because I was sitting there grinning while they're saying, oh, people are losing their houses, people are doing this, this is what's going on. And it's like I wasn't oblivious to it, but I was grinning. I'm like, I'm signing papers on my house. I don't know.
By no means are we saying for those people who have been significantly impacted negatively by the recession,
yeah, it doesn't exist.
That it's not real and that, you know, in that, you know, it, people aren't suffering from it because we know for a fact that
people are. Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, and we have to pose the question, you know, I mean, is it your reality or is it the reality? And I think, you know, we've come to at least a conclusion amongst this small group, you know, I think it is your reality. It's not the reality for everyone. And everybody's situation is different. But guess what? There's this thing called savings that, you know, our parents know about and our parents' parents knew about, and it was a different approach. You know, they didn't spend $100 on sneakers. They didn't spend $100 on jeans. You know? They didn't have
I said, that's crazy anyway. Even if I had it, I still wouldn't spend that much on jeans.
Yes, you've never spent $100 on jeans or shoes? Get out of here. Stop playing.
No, by any means. I sure have not. I'm an awesome shopper. Let me tell you something. I mean, now I do have articles that cost that much, but did I pay that much for them? No, by any means. Did not. Will not. I will get a couple of things for $100, but not just one article. No.
Okay. Well, I think you are a rarity in that.
I just carpet cleaner for $65, and the normal price for it is like $200. So, like, no, I know how to shop. No.
Okay. I know people who don't even have $100 who spent $100 on sneakers.
Right.
So go figure. Go figure. I'm not
sure
saying it makes sense. I'm just saying.
Right.
Talk to us about working for yourself and the mindset that it takes, because we're talking about a shift mentally across the board, a shift in how you see money, a shift in how you spend money, a shift in saving money, working for yourself. How important is that?
Well, ultimately, I think that should be the American dream. And what I mean by that is that it's extremely important. I'm not sure how the American dream became white picket fence with a 2.5, you know, family household and dad goes off to work. I'm not sure. But goes off to work for somebody. Hopefully, you know, that the founders of the Chamber of Commerce were, you know, founders for entrepreneurs, small businesses, to help everyone. Hopefully everyone had a chance to, you know, own their own. So, but the shift of that mentality is definitely depending on the individual and your circumstance can be a struggle, depending on how bad you want it. If you want it that bad, I can't say anything is easy, because anything that's easy may not be worth having. So, you know, and then on top of that, to go from, like, I'm an employee state of mind to an employer stigma, you can't do it by yourself. Because
right.
if you've never been an employer in the Blue Blazers, would you know what kind of state of mind to have? So therefore, you need to become educated. Do your research. You go into this thing slowly, not big and blazing like, oh, I know, I got this, I can do this. Because even though it does take failure in order to achieve success, because failure helps you to learn, at the same time, some things is just you don't have to fail that. You know what I'm saying? You can just do your work, listen to some wisdom, and surpass certain things. There's no need for you to try to reinvent the wheel. So that mind frame, one, is not easy to acquire, but it's very important because I think ultimately that should be everyone's goal in America, in life, as you're working toward. I don't think you should be just content with working for someone 8 to 5 and never going farther than that, you know, or at least make it an option. Make it an option, and what I mean by that is make an option in order to show other people that, okay, well, you can work 9 to 5 and you can also be an entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong with doing on both sides. You might like it. You know, you might discover some things about yourself that you don't know. But the bottom line is, I think everybody should try to be an entrepreneur, because creating that income, creating that wealth, and possessing that, and being able to do what I feel I'm purposed to do is give back, give it away, help as many people as I possibly can while I'm here and alive, you know, be it financially, be it by blessing them with wisdom or whatever, just by being a blessing. If I can create it, keep it coming, and then give it, you know, be a blessing with it, you know, I think then my purpose is fulfilled. So I think I think that should be, like, part of everyone's goal somewhere. It shouldn't be everyone's main goal, but, you know, as a people, as an American, in my mind, the American dream is, you know, to be that entrepreneur. So.
Right. You know what, though? A lot of people who are fine being worker bees, you know what I'm saying, who rather work for other people. Those are the followers who follow very well.
I mean, we must have them. It's a balance, like Terrence said. We must have them because everyone, if you're an entrepreneur, I mean, we still have to buy in order to make the cycle go. Needless to say, just don't become complacent and happy and say, yes, I am just going to be a worker bee. That's what I'm settling for. Yes. No.
Right. Hey, let's go to the phone. You know, great point. You're dropping jewels inside Empowerment Sunday. Let's area code 347, last four digits 0930. Are you feeling a pinch of the recession? Is your household, is your community feeling that pinch, or is life swell? What's going on? Tell us your name and your telephone.
What's up, y'all? What's up? What up, T? Should recognize that number.
What's cracking, homie?
I'm chilling. Hey. What's up, D? How's everything?
The brother Medley calling, checking in. What's good, bro?
I'm maintaining. I'm trying to, and I'm doing exactly that. Is maintaining. I came in. I heard D talking about, you know, being an entrepreneur and everything. So, like, I can't say that I'm being very successful right now, but I can say that I'm maintaining because, like you said, I am feeling the pinch of the recession. But what I did want to say, what was interesting was y'all both brought up two very good points, and I just came in. But you were saying something about you got the people that are going to be entrepreneurs and the people that are going to be the worker bees. I was reading about W.E.B. Du Bois and the Talented Tenth last week. And like I said, it's a percentage of the population that's actually supposed to uplift the rest and uplift and encourage the rest of the population to move forward. So those entrepreneurs, you know what I'm saying, even though you got your little worker bees under you, you know what I'm saying, you should still try. You can't force them. You can't force anybody to do anything. You can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. So as long as you did your part in trying to encourage and help someone else to grow, you know, like, you did your part for the most part. But, I'm blessed enough to have a steady source of income that I can't get away from even if I wanted to. But,
right.
I'm in the military. So, like, I got a job where I can't walk away. And I would, if I could, I would walk away right now, you know, and and try and be an entrepreneur, but I can't.
But you
so,
can use
and
it.
Even still,
you can use that as a catalyst, though.
That's exactly what I did. It's like I had a when I came into the military, I had a 6-year plan. I looked at the last 6 years of my life, what I had accomplished, what I was doing, and I was like, if I continue along this path, like I'm gonna either end up dead or in jail. So I had to make a change. I had to step out there on faith, my own faith. Well, God's faith, really, you know what I'm saying, and faith in myself that I could accomplish this. So within this 6-year time frame, like you said, it's a catalyst for me, you know, that I'm using to I'm coming out better than what I was before.
Right. Yeah, because being the thing is where the military may not be for everyone, however, it is, and it has been like a major stepping stone for me. It allowed me to, you know, be able to purchase a home, you know
exactly.
what I'm saying, and then sell
exactly.
that and then purchase another home. So
mm-hmm.
it's like always having a spade in your pocket, you know,
yep.
thing to fall
exactly
back
right.
on. So,
a
you know,
spade
but not
in your pocket.
Do that.
A spade in your pocket.
A big spade, a deuce or a joker. That's a big spade.
I know, right? It's a big joker, big joker. Big joker.
Hey,
yeah.
No doubt. Hey, you are inside Empowerment Sunday. Dropping jewels. Hey, folks are giving it to us straight from the heart. So here's one straight from the heart. We'll be right back. You're inside Empowerment Sunday. Team Honda Radio Live.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me. And I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
Radio Live, and that was Never Would Have Made It by Marvin Sapp.
Marvin Sapp.
I love that song. It's dope.
No doubt. That's always one that gets us over the top.
You know, I'm trying to tell you, that song is a beautiful song, though. Like, it makes you recognize. It's like, that is a true, very true song. Would never would have made it.
No doubt.
I'm so surprised that I'm about to be 35, yo.
Wow, you never thought you'd make it, huh?
I'm talking about, like, my whole family, I think, had a big party. Like, when I made it past 21, it was like, God.
Wow. So you didn't see yourself living beyond what age for yourself? You never saw past what age?
21 was going to be it. And once I made it to 21,
wow,
I felt but I got pregnant at 21 as well. So after I got pregnant, it definitely, like, my age range went, God, like, I didn't think I was going to die at that point. Once I had the kid, and I wasn't even supposed to, they told me I wasn't going to have children. So I was like, look, that's when my age range changed.
Shift the conversation real quick, just to kind of backtrack to something Medley said earlier. If you could leave the military, you would get out right now. I'm sure that was a jolt to a few people listening. Can you expound without expounding too far? What makes you want to go AWOL right now? That the military is supposed to be a good thing. So they say it's supposed to help you.
And indeed it is. It's like, I think had I started the military when I was like maybe 18, 19, 20, 21, you know what I'm saying, around there. Like, I joined when I was 32, you know what I'm saying. I had held a number of jobs in the civilian world. And so I was used to being a civilian. It's like less than 1% of the whole American population, you know what I'm saying, is military or volunteers to be military at any given time. So it's a lot of things that, you know, as a civilian, we take for granted certain freedoms that when you become a soldier, you sacrifice. And, you know, it's just like they try and as a young person, it's easier for them to assimilate you, you know what I'm saying, and make you fall in line. But me already being set in my ways, you know what I'm saying, I had went to college, you know what I'm saying, again, I was established, you know what I'm saying, it was a choice that I made to leave and just walk away from a lot of things in my life. But if I could go back, you know what I'm saying, I would rather just struggle, you know what I'm saying, and take that chance, you know what I'm saying, either and hope that I would have made it, you know what I'm saying. But again, as I said before, like, I was looking at a choice where it was either, you know what I'm saying, it basically was a choice of life, you know what I'm saying, versus death.
Exactly.
So, you know, it was like, and even still, you know, it's just like, not saying that I'm completely safe in the military, because where I was in a year ago, you know what I'm saying, a year ago, I can remember being on the phone right now having a similar conversation with you. We were over in Iraq, and next year we'll probably be over in Afghanistan. So it's, you know, like I said, it's just to answer your question, I went off on a tangent, my fault, but like I would leave, you know, just like I'm not reenlisting. It's like I did my piece, and like the young lady said earlier, the military is not for everybody. You know, some people, they can use it, they can make a career out of it, and be successful. I'm not one of those individuals.
Are you going from worker B to entrepreneur?
Immediately.
Right.
Immediately, you know, and even still while in the military, you know what I'm saying, I still try and do what little bit of entrepreneurial business I can, you know, without causing a conflict of interest or, you know, without overstepping any of the set standards that they have as a soldier that you're not restricted to being a civilian. So, like I said, in some form or fashion, you know, it's like, you always should be trying to better yourself or better your situation and the people's situation around you. if you're surrounding yourself by individuals that are not really trying to grow, like, you're not going to grow. So, you know, it's just it's something that's a choice that you have to make. Either you want to be stuck and stagnant where you are, you're comfortable being there, or, you know what I'm saying, you want more for yourself. So, and a lot of
how do you go? How do you go from, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have a short period of time, and you're just like nailing it in the wood. How do you go? Dee Dee said something earlier. CeeLo said everybody's not an entrepreneur. I believe even if I'm not an entrepreneur, it doesn't mean I don't want to be one. How do you go in 2 minutes from a worker bee with no skills, no proficiency to entrepreneur?
Don't look at the definition of entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying, in the traditional sense. Like, people think entrepreneur, you mean they're going out owning your own business and things of that nature. I know people that are entrepreneurs by, like, everybody has some type of skill set or service that they offer, you know, just like whether it be free or they charge for it. For example, I know females that do braids, you know what I'm saying, on the side. I was like, I'll rent you out a shop, you know, I'll rent you out a shop, you know what I'm saying? You can do this in here and make money doing that. So, you know, just like everybody has something that they can offer to the general population.
I think
that's what being an entrepreneur is, you know what I'm saying, is having the faith and the ability to step out and offer your skill set to people that don't have that. So, like I said, it's like being an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily mean that I need to have my business license, that I need to have all the tax ID and all that stuff straight. I need to be an LLC. It's like, yeah, that's all good to have, you know, but you can still do it on a smaller scale. So, I was like, I think people need to realize that, you know, just like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm already doing this. I've been being.
I'm already doing it.
Right. You know,
already doing.
It's just a matter of getting the paperwork, and the little semantics of business. You know what I'm saying? In order. So.
Right.
But
hey, Mr. Medley, hey, we appreciate you, bro. Hey, you got to come back more often, man.
Yes.
Inside Empowerment Sunday. It's October 2nd, everybody. Again, you've been, you know, hey. Caleb Medley hanging out with us. Man, a minute and a half left. The show is
my
over.
Privilege to hang out with y'all.
Hey, we got to come back, bro. Hey, Angels, take us home.
Yes. Well, this is CeeLo. Whatever you do, do it well.
This is Dee Dee. Be a blessing.
Okay.
Toya is entrenched by Dexter. Hey.
Yeah.
We'll check you out tomorrow night. We'll check you out tomorrow night, everybody. Hey, the bottom line is believe, achieve, and maximize the opportunity. We're right back tomorrow.
Check it in.
We'll check it in. Good night, bro.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk radio show.